Welcome to Change Surfer Radio. I'm Dr. J, and I'll be your guide to a sexy high-tech vision of a radically democratic future.
The people's flag is deeper spread, it's shrouded off the mass of day. And ere the limbs grew stiff and cold, their heart's blood died in every fold. Then raise the scarlet standard high, beneath its folds we'll live and die. Though cowards flinch and traitors sneer, we'll keep the red flag flying near.
When half the population is either retired or unemployable because of automation or globalization, we will need to profoundly rethink our economy and begin to recognize that all citizens have a right to a basic livelihood, whether they work or not. Fortunately, Brazil is pioneering just such a revolutionary rethink of social policy. Today, Change Surfer Radio broadcasts the first half of a speech by Eduardo Suplicy, a member of the Brazilian Senate representing the Workers' Party. Senator Suplicy spoke on February 21, 2004, at the third annual Congress of the U.S. Basic Income Guarantee Movement on the recent passage of a basic income guarantee in Brazil. In the first half of this talk, Senator Suplicy explains how the basic income guarantee was passed in Brazil. In the second half, he talks more generally about the economics and ethics of the policy. To find out more about the campaign for a basic income guarantee in your country, visit the website of the U.S. Basic Income Guarantee Movement at widerquist.com/usbig/. That's widerquist.com/usbig/.
Senator Suplicy may be the highest ranking political figure in the world to dedicate himself to promote the basic income guarantee. He first proposed the idea to the Brazilian Senate in 1990, and his years of championing this policy came to fruition a month or two ago when Brazil became the first nation to pass a BIG into law. Senator Suplicy earned his doctorate in economics from Michigan State University. His first position as an elected official was in the 80s, when he was elected to be a federal representative of the Workers' Party. It was then that he first started calling attention to the importance of establishing a guaranteed income for all Brazilians. However, this initiative really gained momentum when he was elected to the Brazilian Senate in 1990 and formally introduced the legislative proposal that was eventually adopted by the full Senate in 1991 as the Guaranteed Minimum Income Program. On the day that the Senate approved this proposal, the then Senator, eventually President Cardoso, called the program a realistic utopia. In 2002, Senator Suplicy articulated the philosophical and moral underpinnings and committed his thoughts about the need for a basic income guarantee in his book, Citizens' Income, The Exodus Through the Door, which was published in Sao Paulo. It is our great honor to be able to present to you today the man who brought us the world's first national basic income guarantee program, Senator Eduardo Suplicy.
Thank you very much, Harry Noguchi. Thank you very much, Carl Winderquist, for inviting me again, and all your friends of the U.S. Basic Income Guarantee Network. You have provided me with an excellent opportunity that I wanted so much to know Mr. Jay Hammond, who is here. Please stand up a little bit. I want to stay together with you.
Oh.
Right.
We were introduced as living legends. You know what a legend is? It's a falsehood, it's exaggeration, and I guess I feel on both counts.
Well, let me tell you that in 1995, I went to Alaska because I have been told that in Alaska, they had a sort of a guaranteed basic income to everyone. And I wanted to see with my eyes. So I went there with my wife, Marta, and it is not because of our trip to Alaska that after She was elected mayor of São Paulo in the year 2000. That in March 2001, she said, well, I would prefer not to be your wife anymore. So, but it so happened, and she is the mayor of São Paulo, and she has introduced, and based on my efforts, a guaranteed minimum income in the city, or in the municipality of São Paulo, and I will tell you about that. But we both were very impressed, positively impressed by what we saw in Alaska. Well, since 1990-91, I have been talking about 3, 4, 5 times in Brazil, as well as in many other places. Last December I was in Manila, the Philippines, in Soweto, near Johannesburg, in South Africa, and last 3 weeks ago in Chile and so on. And I have always been talking about the basic income idea and the Alaska Permanent Fund experience. So I wanted very much to meet you. So thank you very much for having this opportunity.
Thank you.
And I will tell you why it's important to know, and for the people in the world to know more about the Alaska Permanent Fund experience. My book, it's almost ready for being translated into English, so I need to find a publisher now. But in perhaps next month I will have it all in English. So if you help me in finding a publisher here. Okay. Well, but in my book I try to tell about my personal experience since my childhood and also in my adolescence, and because I was born in a family with a certain amount of wealth. We all had a very nice house and opportunities to educate ourselves, and both parents were very Catholic, and they taught us all the Christian values. For example, in my childhood, when I was a boy at 10 years old, we lived in a very good house, and in front of my house there was a beautiful park. And when I was sleeping already, and let's say around midnight, 1 o'clock, sometimes I was awakened by so I opened a window. Sometimes I went there in the park and I saw several women that were beaten. They were being beaten by the police that put them in the police car, and so they went to the police district and stood there for 3 days in jail, and then they returned there to continue their trottoir. No? So I was thinking from that moment why those women were living in that way. That was sometimes very humiliating for them. Perhaps if they had another opportunity, they wouldn't be in need to sell their bodies. And also in my adolescence, I wanted always to ask, why should we have so many inequalities and so much poverty in them, although some people were so rich, as in my family in Brazil, no? So, and I also, I had some friends, some of them gave to me the book of Galileo Galilei, no? And I was very impressed by his will to know about the truth, no? And also the lives of Nicolau Copernicus and Giordano Bruno and Albert Einstein. And so when I teach my students, my classes, I am a professor of economics, I always say that we economists, and they should have as economists the same type of determination of the scientists. As one day Nicolau Copernicus was questioning by his wife or his daughter, that asked him, why are you insisting so much saying that the earth is not the center of the universe and that the earth is rounded and so many things? Don't you see that you are making the church angry and so many people angry at you? So, well, Why do you? Because I want to discover the truth. And why? Why do you want so much to discover the truth? Well, because that's natural. It's of human nature. No? So it is after studying business administration and working with my father's broker company, I told him, "Oh, father, there is a public contest to be a teacher of economics. If I pass this contest, I may do my doctoral studies in economics, and I would like to be a professor and to know more about how can we change the situation that we have here." And so I became a professor of economics and decided to study, and went to Michigan State, to Stanford University, got my master's, my PhD, and I was here in the States during the 66, 68, and then again 70 to 73. And at that time, I got to know the concept of the negative income tax and the discussion about guaranteeing a minimum income. And for many reasons, well, during the 70s, besides teaching economics, I started to write in the press, in the Brazilian press, and started to make many lectures in labor unions, in schools, in several places. And I was very much interested in knowing which would be the instruments of economic policy that could help us in building a just and civilized society. And also, I was very much interested in knowing who influences the policies that any government put into practice, how much the entrepreneurs influence the government, how much the workers talk with the Minister of Finance, the Secretary of Finance, in comparison, say, to the owners of wealth. And so during those years, I was once a student of the fourth year of the Santo André Foundation near San Bernardo do Campo, where the Union of Workers where the president was Lula. This was in 1976. He told, "Well, today Professor Suplicy is going to speak to my class. Wouldn't you like to go?" He asked the president Lula of the labor union, and Lula went there. And so I was talking about policies to improve income distribution, about inequality and so on, and who influences the decisions of the finance minister and so on. And when I finished my talk, Lula, and I said, "Well, if you have any questions," and Lula raised his hand and made some observations, and the professor said, "How come? What the director of the university will say when he knows that a very subversive labor leader is here in this class?" And so Lula was so much, he didn't feel well, so he decided to went out of the class, and I finished answer all the questions, and then I went out, and in the hall, Lula was there, so we started to talk, and he said, "Come to the labor union headquarters, we have to talk more and more." And so we became friends. Today he is the president. And this was in 1976. And in 1978, when I was for the first time a state legislature candidate, he was together with me discussing in the streets when I published one of my books. And in that dialogue, and we made a dialogue in the streets of São Paulo, downtown, and that was the first time that he had a public discussion about the formation of a workers' party.
Today on Change Surfer Radio, you're listening to a speech by Eduardo Suplicy, a member of the Brazilian Senate representing the Workers' Party. Senator Suplicy spoke on February 21st, 2004, at the third annual Congress of the U.S. Basic Income Guarantee Movement on the recent passage of a basic income guarantee in Brazil.
And in 1980, Lula and his fellows invited me to be one of the founders of the Workers' Party. During the 80s, I and other professors of economics in our discussions with the direction of the Workers' Party, several times we told them perhaps we should include in our program the idea of guaranteeing a minimum income to everyone. And during the 80s, I sometimes discussed about the idea of a negative income tax. But it was, and I was elected state legislator in 78, in 82 federal legislator, in 88 I was city councilman and president of the city council of São Paulo, which is the main city of São Paulo, and in 1990 I was the first and only senator out of 81 elected by the Workers' Party. And when talking with several friends, they told me, they asked me, what are you going to do as a senator? And I thought, well, I have always been thinking that it would be a good idea to present a guaranteed minimum income proposal. And then I explained to my friends, well, you should do it immediately. And then I started to explain to Lula and to all the members of the direction, and I formulated a guaranteed minimum income proposal through the form of a negative income tax. Every adult citizen with 25 years or more with income below, say, $150 per month would have the right to receive 50% of the difference between $150 and his or her income, woman or man. So, and I presented to the Senate, and in April 1991, in October 1991, it was approved in the commission, the Economic Affairs Committee. And in December 16, 1991, it was approved unanimously by the Senate. Even the leader of the PSDB and later president of Brazil, Fernando Henrique Cardoso, told at that time, as you've mentioned, that that was a realistic utopia and that the Senate had made it feasible, because the Senate had proposed that the guaranteed minimum income would go step by step. First to those, in 1995, to those with 60 years or more, 1996 with 55 years or more, until 2002 to all adults with 25 years or more. But it went to the House of Representatives, the Chamber of Federal Representatives, and there it got the favorable report of the one representative, Germano Rigotto, who is a successful political leader, who today he is the governor of the state of Rio Grande do Sul. But it stood there until today. But in 1994, I decided to be at the 5th Congress of the Basic Income European Network that was founded in 1986 by Philippe Vampares, Guy Standing, Klaus Hoff, and James Edward Mead, and others. And more I interacted with them. I went also to Amsterdam, to the 6th Congress, to Berlin. Well, to in 1998... I was planning to go to Amsterdam. I had already my paper there, but that was just 2 weeks before the new election for us, for the Senate. So in 1998, people told me, well, you cannot live here. Imagine 2 weeks before the election. So I wrote to Philippe Vampares, oh, it's better for me to continue the struggle to be elected. And so, well, if in 1990 I had 30% of the votes, 4,200,000, in 1998 I had 43% of the votes of the state of São Paulo, and representing the state of São Paulo and the Workers' Party, with 6,718,000 votes. So I hope you will be very successful also defending those ideas, no? So, and that was my main... Well, many other things, but this was always a very strong proposal that I defended, no? And already in 1998, I was talking about you may guarantee a minimum income to all, either through a negative income tax or through an unconditional basic income. In the year 2000, I went to Berlin also. In 19... Well, the guaranteed minimum income, as I had presented, was not approved as... But it had started a tremendous discussion in Brazil. For example, among the Workers' Party economists in Belo Horizonte in 1991, one economist said, well, it's a good idea, the guaranteed minimum income, but I think that since one of the main problems in Brazil is the fact that the children are working at a very early age because their parents don't have enough, and so they ask their children to start working at 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years of age, and so on. So if we were to provide an income to the family as long as they were going to school, this could be a good start. So in 1995, in Brasilia, the federal district, as well as in Campinas, two local programs started in Brasilia, so-called the Bolsa Escola, and in Campinas, the minimum income, the minimum family income to families with children as long as they are going to school. And so those programs started in those two places, and many other places started to have local programs along these lines, with different designs with respect to the design of the benefit to the family, a complement of income to the family. Well, and since those programs were successful, in 1997, a law was approved under which the union, the federal government, was authorized to give a federal support to those municipalities that introduced a minimum income program related to educational opportunities, providing some funds to the family as long as their children from 7 to 14 years of age were really going to school. And so this spread all over, but still with a very small benefit to the family. And in the year 2001, President Fernando Henrique Cardoso presented a new law that was in the form of a provisional measure that starts to be a law from the moment it is published, and it was rapidly approved by the National Congress, through which the government would start minimum income programs to families with children as long as they were going to school, and with all the municipalities of Brazil. So almost all of the 5,561 municipalities of Brazil from the year 2001 on started to have those programs, but still with a very modest amount per child going to school, say $5 per month, as long as the family would have one, two, three or more children, a maximum of 45 reais per month. And also, since this would be for families with children from 7 to 14 years of age, then there was another program. This would be the first one I was mentioning, was managed by the Minister of Education. But then they thought it would be good to have another program with the same design, but for families with children from 0 to 6, as long as the children were being vaccinated and their weight was being controlled from time to time by the health posts of each municipality, and the families would have the same amount of benefit. And so there were two programs, and then other programs. Well, but in December 2001, I was already so much convinced that it would be even better to provide a guaranteed minimum income through a basic income, an unconditional basic income, that I decided to present a new project of law that is here, saying that, say, we were in December 2001, no? So I presented this project that is here on page 11 of this booklet, and I think that you all have. If you don't have, please, where it says, it's on page, I'm sorry, it's on page 5. It says, it's a very simple law. The National Congress decrees, Article 1, it is instituted from 2005, the citizenship income, That will be the right of all the Brazilians that are living in Brazil, as well as the foreigners that are living at least for 5 years or more, no matter their socioeconomic condition, to receive annually a monetary benefit that will be of equal value to everyone, and that might be paid in equal and monthly parcel. It will be up to the executive power to define the value of the benefit, and that should be sufficient for the main needs of the people. Considering for this the level of economic development of the nation and the budgetary possibilities. And thinking of what happened in Alaska, I put here the electoral justice by October 2004, when we will have municipal elections this year, if approved by the National Congress, will help a popular referendum to see whether the people would like to have this. No? And if approved, then the executive would have to take the necessary measures from the point of view of the budget to have the money to pay for it. Then I published my book and I went to the senator, Francelino Pereira, who was 81 years of age, a very experienced politician, was once governor of the state of Minas Gerais, and I told him, he was of the PFL, the Liberal Front Party, and opposition to the Workers' Party, but he was a man of experience and common sense, and I told him, would you please study this proposal? I would like to discuss with you. And so he did, and he told me, I think that's a good idea, but I believe that in order to be feasible and compatible with the law of fiscal responsibility, we should think of introducing the citizens' basic income gradually and starting with those most in need. And so he put here a paragraph 1 that this measure will be attained in steps under the criterion of the executive power, taking into account first those most in need. He was a member of the opposition of the Workers' Party, and he said that it's such a good idea. Let us do it step by step, but let us approve it. And it was approved unanimously. And so on the 15th of December, the president of the Chamber of Deputies sent a message for the decision of President Lula for him to sanction the proposal.
Today, Change Surfer Radio broadcasts the first half of a speech by Eduardo Suplicy, a member of the Brazilian Senate representing the Workers' Party. Senator Suplicy spoke on February 21, 2004, at the third annual Congress of the U.S. Basic Income Guarantee Movement on the recent passage of a basic income guarantee in Brazil. In the first half of this talk, Senator Suplicy explains how the basic income guarantee was passed in Brazil. In the second half, he talks more generally about the economics and ethics of the policy. To find out more about the campaign for a basic income guarantee in your country, visit the website of the U.S. Basic Income Guarantee Movement at widerquist.com/USBIG. That's widerquist.com/USBIG/. And check back next week for the second half of this talk. You've been listening to Change Surfer Radio. Change Surfer Radio is produced at WHUS-FM at the University of Connecticut in Storrs. If you want to learn more about democratic transhumanism, or you want to share your thoughts about this show with me, Dr. J, email me at jhughes, that's J-H-U-G-H-E-S, at changesurfer.com. You can also check out past and future shows, archived in streaming MP3, and myriad relevant links at the website www.changesurfer.com.